Good morning, and welcome to the Deep Dive. Look at your calendar for a second. It is Wednesday, May 6, 2026. And this morning, you woke up to a reality where, the exact mathematical formulas designed by the United States government to protect your future data were just weaponized.
Right, weaponized to basically shut down the 9/11 systems across four major states. It's just wild.
It is. We are unpacking the Tech in Morning briefing today, and I've got to tell you, it is a massive stack of reporting. I mean, six explosive stories just broke simultaneously. Any single one of them would define the year, but together, they paint a staggering picture.
It really is an unprecedented watershed moment. And, we aren't here to just read you a list of news headlines. Our mission today is to cut through the overwhelming noise of this briefing and show you the through line.
Exactly, the big picture.
Right, because we are watching a simultaneous collision where technology is aggressively breaking past its physical limitations, while at the exact same time, the foundational security we rely on every single day is completely shattering.
Okay, let's unpack this, starting with the literal collapse of the infrastructure that keeps the modern world running. We need to talk about the cyber attack on AT&T because critical infrastructure is currently falling to math from the future.
Yeah, the scale of this breach is hard to even comprehend. We are looking at the world's very first quantum-resistant ransomware attack.
Wow, first ever.
The first one of this magnitude, absolutely. It began at 3:00 a.m. Eastern Time. Within a 2-hour window, the attackers successfully infiltrated 15 AT&T data centers. And we're talking spanning New York, California, Texas, Florida. They locked down everything.
I mean, literally everything.
Everything. Subscriber profiles, call logs, text messages, and crucially, all of the redundant security backups.
And the fallout was immediate. I mean, 45 million subscribers were suddenly disconnected from the world. We saw a 12-hour total blackout where emergency 9/11 services went completely dark in several major metropolitan
It's
areas.
just terrifying for the people on the ground.
Truly. And the hackers are demanding a $500 million ransom paid in Bitcoin. But the sheer scale isn't even the most terrifying part, right? It's the specific locks the hackers decided to put on AT&T's data.
Yeah. What's fascinating here is the terrifying asymmetry of the attack. Up until this morning, conventional ransomware relied on classical cryptographic algorithms, things like RSA 2048.
Right.
Now, RSA works by taking massive prime numbers and multiplying them together. It would take a classical computer thousands of years to reverse that math, but a quantum computer, it could theoretically crack it in seconds.
Okay, so anticipating the quantum computers of the future, the attackers in this breach used a hybrid scheme of post-quantum algorithms, specifically Crystals Kyber, Crystals Dilithium, and Sphinx Plus.
Exactly. And I want to highlight something really crucial there. These hackers didn't invent this unbreakable math.
No, they didn't.
These specific algorithms were designed by NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology.
They were. These algorithms use incredibly complex, multidimensional lattice mathematics designed by our own government institutions.
Right. They were built to defend our data against the quantum computers of tomorrow.
But today, they are being weaponized as unbreakable ransomware.
Yeah.
Like the NSA can throw its most powerful classical supercomputers at this lock, and they are completely useless.
Totally useless. The defensive tools of tomorrow have officially become the offensive weapons of today.
So the best way to visualize the mechanism of what just happened to you, the listener, is this. It's like we realized bank robbers in the future were going to have laser cutters, right? So we spent a decade building an indestructible laser-proof vault door.
Right, a perfect defense.
But a group of robbers stole that experimental door today, brought it to our house, and locked us inside with it. We built the ultimate lock, but we just don't possess the key.
That is a great analogy, and the panic in Washington reflects exactly that reality. I mean, President Biden convened an emergency National Security Council meeting within 3 hours of the AT&T outage.
Wow, 3 hours.
Yeah. Senator Mark Warner's Intelligence Committee has already spun up a special task force. The mandate coming down the pipe is that critical infrastructure has to adopt post-quantum standards immediately. Like, the transition period is completely over.
But let's pivot for a second, because while the macro-level collapse of a telecom giant is terrifying, there is a micro-level failure in this briefing that hits much closer to home.
It really does.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if cutting-edge math can't protect AT&T's data centers, how safe is the digital vault holding your bank passwords?
Well, the deeply uncomfortable truth is that your personal infrastructure might be even more fragile. And that brings us to the second massive story this morning, a zero-day supply chain attack targeting the command line interface, or CLI, tool of a major password manager.
Unbelievable.
10 million American users just had their encrypted vaults completely compromised.
10 million people. And the mechanics of this attack are honestly incredibly insidious. They didn't try to brute force the front door of the password manager.
No, that would be too loud.
Right. To use an analogy, it's like a trusted parts supplier quietly shipping a car factory poisoned brake lines for months. By the time the cars hit the highway, the brakes were already programmed to fail.
That is a perfect way to describe a supply chain attack. Mm. Software today is built using open source building blocks, you know. The attackers targeted a widely used NPM node package manager package.
Okay.
They compromised this specific package back on March 19th. And it just sat there, totally dormant.
Just hiding.
Exactly. Then on April 24th, it was quietly integrated into the password manager CLI tool through a routine, totally automated update.
So it was already inside the house, just waiting.
Waiting and doing reconnaissance.
Yeah.
It simply mapped the memory environment without triggering any alarms at all. Then on May 1st, it activated.
And what did it do when it woke up?
It exploited a vulnerability in the encryption key process to intercept master passwords at the exact moment the user typed them, right before the encryption actually happened.
Oh, wow. So it grabbed the keys before they could even lock the vault?
Yes. It decrypted the vaults and funneled all that sensitive data out through heavily encrypted channels.
I mean, I have to push back on the entire premise of how we handle personal security here. Because for over a decade, the cybersecurity industry has lectured you, the user, to use a centralized password manager.
Right. Use a password manager, use a password manager.
The prevailing advice was literally put all your eggs in one basket and just build a really strong basket. Did following this widely accepted best practice actually just paint a massive bullseye on the backs of 10 million people?
I mean, you're touching on the ultimate irony of secure storage. Mm-hmm. By centralizing everything to avoid weak, reused passwords, the industry inadvertently engineered a massive single point of failure.
Exactly.
Troy Hunt, the creator of Have I Been Proud, he summarized this beautifully in his analysis today. Centralized password storage, no matter how brilliantly encrypted, creates a target so attractive that it guarantees the most sophisticated threat actors on Earth will dedicate their lives to cracking it.
Because if a hacker intercepts that one master key, they don't just get your spam email account. They get your banking infrastructure, your crypto wallets, your employer's network credentials. It is the total compromise of a digital identity.
Which means listeners using CLI tools need to take immediate, actionable steps today. First, rotate your credentials, entirely change your critical passwords.
All of them.
All of them. Second, move away from software-only authentication. You need to enable physical hardware security keys, like a YubiKey, for your two-factor authentication instead of relying on an SMS text.
Because texts can be intercepted.
Exactly. Looking at the macro picture, the industry is going to be forced toward decentralized, zero-knowledge architectures, where the service provider holds absolutely zero access to your actual data.
Okay, so we're seeing malicious hackers exploiting incredibly deep, system-level access to ruin lives. But it isn't just hackers who demand that 24/7 deep access to your machine.
No, it's not.
Legitimate software demands it, too. Specifically, the video games you play to unwind. And lawmakers in Congress are finally drawing a line in the sand.
The introduction of the Bipartisan Gamer Privacy Act this morning is a monumental shift. We are seeing Congress directly intervene in the video game industry on privacy grounds, specifically targeting the mechanics of modern anti-cheat systems.
Right. And to understand why Congress is stepping in, you have to understand how systems like Riot's Vanguard actually function. They operate at the kernel level.
Ring
zero. Exactly. For those unfamiliar, the kernel is ring zero. It is the absolute foundational layer of your operating system. Software running at the kernel level has more privileges than your antivirus, and it monitors your computer's memory 24/7.
Which is already controversial.
Very. And recently, developers have started experimenting with collecting biometric data, tracking your eye movements, analyzing your hand twitch patterns, and even monitoring your heart rate to algorithmically detect if you are using cheats.
And that level of surveillance is what triggered this legislation. Under the Gamer Privacy Act, biometric data collection is outright banned. Neural data analysis to check player stress levels, banned. And fundamentally, it legally restricts kernel-level anti-cheat software so that it can only run when the video game is actively open and being played. Companies found in violation are looking at fines of up to $100 million per incident.
Now, we need to be explicitly clear right here We are not taking political or ideological sides on this bill.
Yeah.
We are impartially reporting the severe divide this has exposed within the gaming industry.
It's a massive divide.
It is. On one side, you have developers like Riot Games arguing that kernel-level access is literally the only mathematical way to maintain competitive integrity. Their argument is that since sophisticated cheating software operates at the kernel level, the defense must also live at the kernel level. Otherwise, multiplayer games will be overrun and destroyed.
Right, it's an arms race.
Exactly. Conversely, you have studios like CD Projekt Red taking the stance that player privacy is entirely non-negotiable. They argue there are server-side statistical ways to combat cheating without turning every personal computer into a biometric surveillance engine.
If we connect this to the bigger picture and look at the global supply chain of software, the implications of this American bill stretch far beyond U.S. borders.
How so?
Well, game developers create unified global builds. It is economically unfeasible to maintain one kernel-level anti-cheat system for the United States and a completely different architecture for Europe or Asia. Consequently, this single piece of American legislation is highly likely to force a brand new global standard for digital privacy in the gaming industry.
It is such a wild juxtaposition. Congress is actively stepping in to limit how game developers monitor our physical reality, but at the exact same moment, those same developers are using artificial intelligence to generate entirely limitless realities inside our machines. Let's talk about the Rockstar Games announcement regarding Grand Theft Auto 6.
Oh, this is huge. After months of industry rumors, Rockstar confirmed this morning that GTA 6 will feature an AI-powered infinite dialogue system for its non-player characters.
We've all played massive open-world games, where an NPC has, like, a few dozen recorded lines, and eventually the immersion breaks because you hear the same merchant complaining about his boots for the 20th time.
Right, it gets so repetitive.
But GTA 6 is solving this by running local large language models, LLMs, completely offline, directly on your console or PC.
The mechanism behind this is a fundamental leap in how games are structured. Rockstar isn't just letting an AI synthesize robotic, lifeless speech from scratch.
Which is what everyone was afraid of.
Exactly. They recorded 35,000 bass lines from over 300 different human voice actors. The local LLM maps the vector spaces of emotion and context, dynamically selecting, combining, and sequencing these real human foams and phrases into millions of unique, emotionally resonant combinations.
And the feature that makes this revolutionary is what they are calling the dialogue decay freshness score. The local AI actually remembers your unique player history.
It's so cool.
If you walk down a virtual street wearing a specific, ridiculous outfit, an NPC will react to it. If you return to that same street the next day, driving a stolen police car with a wanted level, they won't repeat their greeting from yesterday. They will contextualize your new status, the weather, and your previous interactions.
It's a living world.
But the immediate question for you, the listener, is what does this mean for your wallet? Rockstar confirmed an $80 base price point, stretching to $120 for special editions. Does that premium price become justified when the code stops being a static, predictable script and evolves into a living, breathing simulation?
I mean, the market will dictate the financial success, but technically, the value proposition is enormous. The brilliance of this hybrid LLM approach is the localized processing.
Right, the fact that it's offline.
Because it runs locally on your own hardware, your microphone audio and gameplay data aren't being constantly beamed to a corporate server. It protects your privacy. Furthermore, local processing eliminates internet latency. The NTCs react instantly to your actions. However, generating that massive amount of localized processing power comes with an inescapable physical cost.
Which brings us the massive, glowing red catch to everything we've explored today. Running post-quantum cryptographic defenses, compiling local LLMs for infinite game dialogue, rendering these hyper-realistic worlds, it all requires an unfathomable amount of processing power.
It really does.
And as of this morning's briefing, we are officially slamming into the physical limits of what silicon can handle.
Yeah, we are looking at Apple's highly anticipated M5 Ultra chip, which is reportedly facing a catastrophic thermal crisis in their internal testing labs.
We are talking about literal meltdown levels of heat. The reporting shows the M5 Ultra is hitting 105 to 110 degrees Celsius.
Which is insane.
That is over 221 degrees Fahrenheit during heavy AI workloads. The architecture is forcing dramatic system-level performance throttling just to prevent the metal from suffering permanent physical damage.
To understand why it's melting, you have to look at the sheer density of the architecture. The M5 Ultra packs 36 CPU cores and 80 GPU cores.
Wow.
Apple achieved this using their Ultra Fusion technology, which essentially stitches two massive M5 Max chips together into a single die. But pushing that much data requires a thermal design power, or TDP, of 250 to 280 watts under full load.
Let's contextualize that number for a second. A standard high-performance laptop chip might draw 20 to 30 watts of power. Apple is trying to shove nearly 300 watts of electrical energy through a tiny wafer of silicon.
It's just too much.
It's like taping two massive jet engines together, shoving them into a compact car, and expecting the chassis not to liquefy. You cannot negotiate with the laws of thermodynamics. All that electrical energy turns into heat, and that heat has to go somewhere.
This thermal wall is effectively the death knell of Moore's Law. For decades, the entire tech industry operated under the assumption that engineers could just keep shrinking transistors, adding more cores, and running them at higher frequencies.
The golden age of computing.
Right. But that era of just add more cores is definitively over. Apple is staring down three incredibly painful choices for the Mac Studio launch. First, they could embrace complex liquid cooling systems, which violates Apple's core design philosophy of silent, fanless simplicity.
They'll never do that.
Probably not. Second, they could severely downclock the chips so they run cooler, which destroys the premium performance that justifies the chip's existence in the first place. Or third, they suffer an embarrassing public delay to redesign the thermal architecture. Current whispers suggest the Mac Studio launch is being pushed from June all the way to October 2026.
Okay, so if we can't keep building hotter, denser chips to sit on our desks without them physically melting, the paradigm of computing has to evolve in a completely different direction. It has to move off of our desks entirely.
The transition is inevitable. If desktop silicon is hitting a thermal wall, the future of personal computing is moving directly onto our bodies. And that makes Apple's confirmation of the Vision Lite headset this morning the most critical puzzle piece in this entire briefing.
The Vision Lite is officially coming in fall 2026. The headline grabber here is the price point, $1,499. That is less than half the price of the original $3,499 Vision Pro, which, let's be honest, struggled to find an audience.
And it's just too expensive.
Way too expensive.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets really interesting. It features a revolutionary interface called Mind Typing.
Mind typing is powered by advanced EMG or electromyography sensors heavily integrated into the headset's frame and a paired wristband. Instead of tracking massive hand gestures, it intercepts the neuromuscular signals your brain sends to your hands.
The mechanics of this are mind-blowing to me. When you think about typing the letter A, your brain fires an electrical impulse down your arm. The EMG sensors intercept that micro-twitch before your finger even makes a full visible movement. You just think about typing, your muscles involuntarily prime themselves, and the headset translates that electrical intent into text on a virtual screen.
And it's fast, too.
The internal metrics claim users are hitting 120 words per minute at 98% accuracy. I want you to imagine sitting on a crowded train, staring out the window, and literally thinking your emails into existence without ever touching a physical surface or speaking a word. Are you ready to put a computer on your face?
Apple is betting the entire future of the company that you will be. The Vision Lite is not just a cheaper VR toy. This is a highly calculated, multi-layered strategy designed to render the iPhone completely obsolete by the year 2030.
4 years from now.
Exactly. They launched the Vision Pro to capture the high-end enterprise market. The Vision Lite serves as the critical, affordable bridge to mainstream spatial computing. And the ultimate endgame is Apple Glass for seamless, everyday wear. Their stated goal is that within 4 years, the concept of pulling a glowing glass rectangle out of your pocket will feel antiquated.
What a profound journey today's briefing has been. I mean, think about the landscape we've just traversed. Today, you saw the quantum math of tomorrow weaponized against our telecom infrastructure today. We examined the fragile, poisoned water supply of our supposedly secure digital vaults.
And we watched an unprecedented legislative battle over biometric surveillance in our living rooms.
Exactly. We witnessed the physical melting limits of desktop silicon and saw the blueprint for a mind-reading headset designed to kill the smartphone.
It is a massive inflection point across every sector we track. But there is a final lingering thought I want to leave you with. A hidden pattern beneath all of these headlines.
Okay.
Notice the sheer trajectory of the technology. from GTA 6 utilizing an offline local language model to generate worlds, to the Vision Light relying on local neuromuscular sensors to read your intent, and even the highly localized nature of quantum ransomware that locks the system down from the inside technology is rapidly moving away from the cloud. It is becoming fiercely hyper-local.
Wow, yeah.
So here's the question you need to mull over today. What happens when the devices sitting in your pockets and strapped to your face become so computationally powerful and so completely self-contained that they operate as complete black boxes? When they are entirely disconnected from the cloud, operating on localized AI, and not even the engineers who built them truly know what they are thinking.
That is a chilling and fascinating thought to end on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Take a moment today to critically question your own digital hygiene, rotate those master passwords, get a hardware key, and keep your eyes wide open. Because whether it's an unbreakable quantum vault door locking you in or a mixed reality headset reading your micro-movements, these technological watersheds are fundamentally reshaping your daily reality. Stay curious, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.